I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. Ecclesiastes 2:1. Hi, I'm Rob West. That verse kicks off one of the boldest experiments in all of Scripture. The preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes sets out to discover whether pleasure could deliver lasting satisfaction. He pursued laughter, wine, work, wealth, every earthly delight you can imagine. We'll talk about what he discovered next, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. So what was his conclusion? Well, Ecclesiastes 1:14 puts it this way. Behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. Despite having unlimited resources and access to every pleasure imaginable, he found it all to be empty. And that's a message our culture desperately needs to hear. Because today, we're constantly bombarded with messages like, treat yourself, follow your heart, and do what makes you happy. From the trips we plan to the gadgets we buy, the world tells us that joy is just one more experience or purchase away. But Ecclesiastes forces us to ask a harder question. What if pleasure doesn't lead where we think it does? Let's paint a picture. Imagine a bag of old receipts. Each one represents a moment that once brought excitement, a nice dinner, a new gadget, a spontaneous splurge. But now, they're just scraps of paper. The feeling is gone. The thrill didn't last. Well, that's exactly what the preacher experienced, only on a far greater scale. In the passage we started with today, the preacher says, come now, I will test you with pleasure. And tested he did. He pursued laughter and wine, built houses and planted vineyards. He created lush gardens, amassed wealth, hired singers. He gathered servants and surrounded himself with every earthly comfort, even concubines. And they are careful to point out that this wasn't reckless living. This was a thoughtful, calculated test. He says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. In today's terms, it would be like saying, if it looked fun, I bought it. If it felt good, I did it. He chased every high with purpose and still came up empty. Why? Because pleasure was never meant to carry the weight of our deepest longings. It promises fulfillment, but delivers only a momentary escape. The author of Ecclesiastes says it's like trying to hold smoke in your hands. Real for a moment, then gone. Now, most of us don't live lavishly like this, much less have the ability to do so. But we do have our own versions. We grab a comfort snack. We scroll social media a little too long. We click add to cart, hoping the package will brighten our week. And for a moment, it might. But that moment fades, and the cycle starts again. This reminds me of Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. Here was a young man who took his inheritance and pursued a life of pleasure, only to end up broken and broke. But think about this. The preacher had everything the prodigal son wanted. He had wealth, freedom, and opportunity, and yet he ended up just as empty. Different stories, same outcome. But here's the grace in his story. We don't have to repeat it. His experiment, his pain, his regret, it all serves as a warning. He turns around to tell us, there's nothing here. Don't waste your life chasing shadows. That's a gift. It frees us to reflect. What am I turning to when I feel tired, discouraged, or disconnected? What quick fixes do I reach for without thinking? And more importantly, what would it look like to seek joy in God instead? That doesn't mean we need to stop enjoying life. God is a generous Father who delights in giving good gifts. He created joy. But those gifts were never meant to replace Him. When pleasure becomes the destination, we miss the giver. We settle for the gift and forget the one who gives it. So, the next time you reach for something to boost your mood, pause and ask, is this about joy or escape? Is this feeding my soul or just distracting it? Ecclesiastes doesn't just warn us. It points us back to what matters most. It helps us dethrone the idol of pleasure and place our trust in someone, not something. And that someone will never fail. That's why we created Wisdom Over Wealth, our new Bible study based on Ecclesiastes. It's designed to help you explore themes like pleasure and wealth, contentment, and what it really means to live with God as your source of joy. This month, when you support FaithFi's ministry with a gift of $35 or more, we'd love to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you. Just visit faithfi.com/wisdom to request your copy today. That's faithfi.com/wisdom. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we're just getting started. Don't go anywhere.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Throughout the centuries, many have tried to discredit Christianity. Some have claimed it's a myth, a legend, a collection of moral teachings. Others have said it's a story invented to control people. But Christian faith doesn't rest on those things. It stands on real events in history. 2 Peter 1 makes that clear. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter saw Jesus with his own eyes, the miracles, the resurrection, and so our faith is rooted in truth. These eyewitness accounts in Scripture are there so that we may believe and have life in his name. Get more daily encouragement for your walk with Jesus at haventoday.org.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
They are teachers, chefs, nurses, storytellers. In short, good mothers are gentle, nurturing, devoted to the well-being of their children. And the fact is, if you're a Christian, you need to cultivate those traits even if you're a man. Consider that today as John MacArthur shows you principles to help you become a spiritual leader that honors the Lord on the next Grace to You.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. That number to get in on the conversation today, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. We're ready to tackle whatever you're thinking about in your financial life today, helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and money a good gift, but still seductive. You see, God gave us money to enjoy, to give away, to invest, but it can rival our hearts. You remember it said in God's word in the book of Matthew, in the gospel, it said, you cannot serve God and mammon, or some translations will say God and wealth. It's really wealth personified in this idea that we can actually worship our money. It can become an idol that rivals our devotion for God. We can't let that happen. It's very easy. We live in the most prosperous nation in the history of the world. We can see money as something that will fulfill us and provide lasting significance and enjoyment in a way it was never intended. But if instead we see God as our ultimate treasure and put money in its proper place as a tool to glorify God and accomplish his purposes, well, then that changes everything. Now we're free to enjoy it and give it away. But we do have to manage it wisely, which means we hold it loosely. We save it appropriately. We're thoughtful about those plans we make with God's money, realizing that it ultimately reflects our values, the way we spend and allocate God's money. What's important to us comes out through our daily financial decisions. And we want to help you navigate those decisions because we know there's questions that you have as you live, give, owe, and grow God's money. That's right, paying off debt, saving for the future, thinking about a college savings plan or a retirement. How much is enough? How much is enough for lifestyle? How much is enough for accumulation? What about wealth transfer? All of these topics, there are principles we can extract from God's word and then apply in a very practical way. And so whatever you're wrestling with in your financial life, this is the opportunity for you to call right now. That number again, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'll be diving into those questions here today in just a moment. In the news today, with job changes on the rise, many Americans are leaving behind old 401k accounts, and it's costing them. As of 2023, nearly 30 million forgotten 401ks held 1.65 trillion, with a T, in assets. Left unmanaged, well, these accounts often incur additional fees. Some former employees may unknowingly pay monthly non-employee maintenance fees, which can quietly drain thousands from their retirement savings over time, not to mention the lost compounding growth. While rolling over funds to an IRA is one option, it's not always cheaper. IRAs can carry higher investment fees depending upon which approach you take, and research suggests that those rollovers could cost U.S. workers a good bit, $45 billion over 25 years. So instead, you should consolidate your retirement savings by, I think my first option would be you rolling those funds into your new employer's plan or tracking down lost accounts through resources like the Department of Labor's new Lost and Found database or the National Registry of Unclaimed Retirement Benefits. You'll find that at unclaimedretirementbenefits.com. Bottom line, don't ignore your old 401k. Try to consolidate it with an existing one or roll it out to that IRA. Remember, you do have options when it comes to that IRA in terms of whether you'll manage it yourself with a low-cost provider. You could use a robo-solution. You could hire an advisor if you have enough in that account to justify bringing on a wealth manager. But you just don't want to let it sit. You certainly don't want to forget about it. So hopefully that's a good reminder for you today. All right, let's dive into your questions. We're going to begin in Oklahoma. Hi, Luke. How can I help you, sir?
Hi, Rob. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for the show. I became a big fan when I discovered it recently. I listen as much as I can.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. My wife and I are about to buy a house. It's our first house, and we're getting closer to actually finishing getting through it, which we've tried many times before but never did. We bounced around a lot with the military, but I was wondering if you could help me weigh in on a 15-year mortgage versus the 30-year mortgage. I am looking to use a VA loan, but we are going to be putting money down. It comes down to the monthly cash flow, I think, and it looks like for the 15-year mortgage, we would be right about at 25% of our monthly income to cover the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. And with the 30-year, it's more like 20% or just under 20%.
Yeah, I mean, I love the 15-year in the sense that you'll pay off the debt much faster, which saves yourself, you know, potentially tens of thousands of dollars in interest. One option would be, and this is kind of a middle ground, is you'd go ahead and take out the 30-year loan, but you treat it like it's a 15. So you could even have your mortgage company, or you could do this yourself with just one of these free online tools where you'd run the amortization schedule that says, okay, what would I need to send every month to pay this 30-year mortgage like it's a 15? Yes, you're going to end up with a slightly higher interest rate, But I think that's a worthwhile trade-off to at least consider, because the benefit of doing that is if you ever got into a position where, you know, you lost a job, or you had a your income took a dip, or you know, you had some unexpected expenses come out of left field that consumed, you know, a good bit of your income, you'd have the ability to drop back to that lower 30-year amortized payment. But, you know, assuming everything goes according to plan, you just pay it like it's a 15, and I think you kind of have the best of both worlds. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. So I think the key, though, is with that plan is you've got to really, you know, stay disciplined and stick to the plan, because lifestyle creep can interfere with your extra principal payments. So you go into this thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that 30-year, and I'm only going to drop down to the 30-year payment if something, you know, really goes haywire, and, you know, I'm going to make that 15-year, and all of a sudden you find other places to use that money, and the 30-year just kind of becomes the norm. So just guard against that, you know, if you can, and I would say just really make a commitment between you and your wife that, hey, we're going to treat this like a 15. We're not even going to consider we've got that option to pay less. But again, as a fail-safe, you could always drop down to that lower amount, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. And that's partly why I was seeking advice, because I think my wife and I just have different personalities about money. And I'd just as soon have less today for more tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think she prefers the flexibility. And I would worry about that lifestyle creep too, like you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think you guys would have to go into it saying, hey, we need to hold each other accountable. We're just going to treat this like a 15-year, knowing that we've got this option to drop down if we absolutely had to, but we're going to build our plan as if we have this 15-year mortgage. And, you know, I think the key when we have different money personalities, and usually that's the way it is, one's the spender, one's the saver, and, you know, it comes down to your temperament and your personality and your upbringing. You know, you need to appreciate what each is bringing to the table. You know, one might want to use it now for experiences and enjoyment. The other might want to save for the future. But in the middle of that, I think you can find God's heart and really reflect Him more fully when you both bring your personalities to the table. But it ultimately has to result in a plan that reflects your values at the end of the day. Thanks for your call, Luke. God bless you, my friend. We'll be right back.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to AFAFoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today. If you have questions, call right now, 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle whatever you're wrestling with today. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, John. How can we help?
Hey, how you doing now? Thanks for what you guys do.
Thank you.
I just wanted to a couple of quick questions about early Social Security. I've worked and paid in all of my life. My wife has paid in very little. I think it's I went online to see what we're eligible for, and I think she's got her what they call 40 points or whatever, but she's only entitled to a very trivial amount.
Yeah.
I'm 62, she's 63. The way I've understood it is a spouse is normally eligible for roughly about 50% of the working spouse.
Yes.
If we draw early, would she still be entitled to that 50%? I'm 62 and she's 63 if we started it early?
She would not. No. So here's the way that it works. So assuming you all were born around 1962 or 63, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. 62,
yeah.
62 for her, 63 for me.
All right. So your full retirement age is going to be 67. So claiming benefits before full retirement age is going to reduce the monthly amount permanently, and that would be for both of you. So if you claimed it at 62, your benefit's going to be reduced by about 30% compared to what's called your primary insurance amount at full retirement age. And so, you know, you'd take what your FRA, your full retirement age benefit is. You can find that at myssa.gov. And then you'd reduce that by about 30%, and that would be a permanent reduction. If she claimed her own benefit at 63, it's reduced by about 25% because she'd be a year closer to that full retirement age. But for spousal benefits, it would come down to about 37% of your benefit rather than the max 50%. So a spouse can get up to 50% of their working spouse's benefit, but that's only if the spouse waits till full retirement age. So at 63, instead of getting the max 50, she'd get about 37.5%. Now, if she has those 40 credits or 10 years of paying into Social Security, she would be able to get either her own benefit, which would be reduced as well at 63, or the up to 50% of yours or 37% if she's taking it at age 63. She can't receive both, and Social Security would automatically pay the higher amount. So if her own benefit is lower because you said she, you know, doesn't, although she met the 40 credits, she didn't pay in a whole lot. And her portion of your benefit as a spouse is higher, then they would pay her benefit, and then they'd add an additional amount to match basically the spousal benefit, essentially. So I think, you know, that's the decision is, do you all want to take it early, recognizing you're going to lock in that reduced benefit for both of you? Or do you want to try to solve for your income needs in another way and then hold off and get closer to that full retirement age to get that checkup?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that answers my main question, was what her reduction would be, because her percentage of mine would be greater than her credits, according to the SSA website. And then, so I guess my only other question regarding that is I think the calculations that we've worked would be okay for us to do it early. But if I continue to make some earned income during this, can I do it? I've got my own little contracting business, but it's not a lot of money. So my income from that would be less than the 24,000 some odd allowed. Is that okay to have your own business and still draw?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the key is, you know, what you pointed out there, and that is that before full retirement age, because at full retirement age and beyond, you can earn as much as you want. But until you reach full retirement age, you've got to be under that limit of $1,950 a month or $23,400 for the year. And so for every $2 you earn above that limit, $23,400, your benefit is reduced by a dollar. And then in the year that you turn full retirement age, your limit increases from $23,400 up to $62,160. Well, that's at least the 2025 number. It will probably be higher by the time you get there. And then at that point, for every $3 you go over that higher limit in that final year, your benefits are reduced by a dollar. And then once you reach full retirement age, there's no limit. Now, keep in mind, if you did have a reduction because you earned over the limit in any of the years leading up to full retirement age, you will eventually get that back. That's not permanent. Once you hit full retirement age, the Social Security Administration recalculates your benefit and they give you credit for the months where your benefits were withheld until you've been fully paid back. So that's, you know, pretty much the only situation where you actually will recoup that over time. It's going to take some time. You know, I don't know the exact number, but I think it might take 10 or 12 years for you to ultimately get all that paid back, but you will get it back eventually.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just working the numbers, the difference between what I would receive at age 62 versus age 67, if I waited till 67, it would take me 118 months to earn that amount of money that I would earn in between age 62 and 67.
I see. Yeah. So you'd have 10 years before you've been,
you know.
Yeah. Well, so then, I mean, the way you look at that is you say, okay, if I've got 10 years to be repaid back, but then from that point forward, I've got, a check that's 30% higher for the rest of my life. That may be the difference between you being able to cover your lifestyle expenses and not, especially if, you know, as things increase over time, like medical expenses and that type of thing. Once you reach age 65, your life expectancy is like 82 as a male. And so depending on your health and the longevity in your family, you may say, you know, let's try to get that check up, give up that money from 62 to 67, believing we're going to live 10 more years and then enjoy that higher check. Hope that helps, John. Thanks for your call, my friend. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
Are you looking for a financial professional who shares your Christian values and offers advice you can trust? Certified Kingdom Advisors are experienced financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program rooted in biblical financial wisdom. They meet high standards of integrity, competence, and stewardship, helping you honor God with all He's entrusted to you. To find a certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a Professional.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. I've got some lines open if you want to call right now. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Tackle whatever is on your mind in your financial life. It could be your spending plan. Maybe you're struggling just to stay on budget. I know this is a challenging time of year, although the expenses change because we're out of the school year. If you've got kids at home, we typically see an increase in travel, and that can result in unplanned expenses. If we haven't thought through that, it can be difficult to stay on plan during these summer months. Well, we'd love to weigh into that. Maybe you're wrestling with the stock market and just some of the volatility. Market basically flat today, but we've had quite a bit of volatility as of late, and I know that can lead to some uncertainty about sticking with your plan. We would love to help you navigate that. Maybe it's paying down debt for you. You're wondering, how do I get out from that credit card debt once and for all, or do I consolidate it? What about debt settlement? What is that? What about debt management through a credit counseling agency? Should I consider that? Any of those topics and more are in play. So with whatever you're wrestling with today in your financial life, go ahead and give us a call. 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You know, one of our callers mentioned just a moment ago that he and his wife kind of have different money personalities. You know, she's more of let's enjoy what we have right now. He's wanting to stay disciplined, reach their goals, and save for the future. And we can often think, well, one way is right, the other way isn't. And yet we need to, I think, come to a place where we understand and appreciate kind of what each other's bringing to the table, which is largely informed by certainly our upbringing, our money personalities, if you will, are shaped by our environment. What did we grow up in? Was money scarce or abundant? Did mom and dad model a spending plan, or did they kind of spend frivolously and maybe they had a bunch of debt? You know, all of that shapes how we handle money. But one of the keys that shapes how we handle money is our temperament. And we have an incredible article, our temperament expert, Kathleen Edelman, here on Faith and Finance, wrote for our most recent edition of Faithful Steward, Issue 2, an article called How Your Temperament Affects Your Money Mindset. And your temperament essentially is the wiring that drives your natural thoughts, behaviors, and responses, and that certainly includes how we handle money. And the key to wise financial decisions isn't just a better budget. In many ways, it's a better self-awareness. You see, understanding your temperament can help you recognize why you make certain money decisions, how to manage finances in a way that aligns with your strength. But I think there's something even more important to this, and this is what Kathleen hits on in this great article in the most recent issue of Faithful Steward, is that each temperament speaks a unique language, has certain strengths and weaknesses, and is motivated by what Kathleen calls innate needs. And when it comes to money, I think knowing your temperament and understanding others' temperaments can help you not only make better financial decisions and reduce stress, but communicate more effectively. So I'm of the four, I'm what you call the yellow temperament. And you would understand this if you read the article. She breaks them down to yellow, red, green, and blue. So my temperament is one that, you know, ultimately at its core is about the language of people and fun. I'm extroverted. I'm people-oriented. And for money, my mindset, as she describes in the article, is that money is meant to be enjoyed. So I love giving generously. I'm optimistic about our ability to reach our goals. I love experiences. So if I'm going to spend money, I want to do it on an experience with my kids or with Julie, my wife, that we're going to use to create memories. And I'm always willing to spend money to do that. The challenges are that yellow, what I am, temperaments can be impulsive in their spending, and we tend to dislike budgeting. And I know that probably sounds funny coming from a money guy, but I think understanding how that plays into your decision-making and being able to bring that into your communication is really key, because there are some challenges that come with this. And ultimately, I know that I have to be careful making sure that I honor Julie's desires with regard to our budget and ultimately what we're driving toward and what we're saving for. And so I think, you know, perhaps understanding your temperament could be a game changer, not only in how you make decisions, but how you communicate with your spouse. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a copy of Faithful Steward, we'll make sure that you get every issue. It comes out four times a year when you become a Faith5 partner. It's a great way to support our ministry and receive great resources that'll encourage you in your stewardship journey. Just head to our website, faithfi.com, and click Give at the top of the page. That's faithfi.com. All right, let's head back to the phones. We do have still a couple of lines open, so if you have a financial question today, you can give us a call, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Tina. How can I help? Oh, Tina, are you with us? Hi.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How can I serve you?
Oh, hi. Hi. My mama bought an annuity several years ago, and now we need it for her care. It's about $179,000, and it just seems like we're running into roadblocks with trying to get money out. I was thinking if we, I don't know if you cash it in. I just need knowledge on what to do. Do you cash in an annuity, or how do you get the money out so you can use it? We want to use it for her care.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, and so I can certainly understand that. As you engage with the company, I think, you know, you first of all need to understand the options that you have. So they tend to be long-term investments, and they are designed to lock up the funds to ultimately provide steady access to the money through kind of an income stream, which is what's called annuitizing. But getting access to the money early can be tricky. Now, how long have you had this particular annuity, or has your mom had it?
I would say at least 20 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we would be beyond the surrender period here. That typically lasts 6 to 8 years. And so, you know, you should be able to, cash it in without any kind of surrender charge. It really ultimately depends on the type of annuity that it's in. And that would ultimately come down to contacting the company and getting some of the details or finding the initial, contract agreement that she signed. There can be taxes that would be triggered as a result of this if it's, a qualified annuity where the money went in pre-tax. So are you looking for kind of a regular monthly income stream where you can pay ongoing bills, or do you need access to more of a lump sum?
No, I think just to pay for her care, like caretakers. Right now, she only gets about $200 a month from it. It's through Fidelity. I don't know what kind of annuity it is.
Okay, got it.
Whether it's qualified. I think you mentioned qualified, where she paid, whether she paid the taxes up front. I need to find that out.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I think that would be important to know, just because you don't want to get caught off guard with the tax implications of that. But what you may want to look at is what's called an annuitization, where essentially you would tell them, we want to go ahead and annuitize this, which takes it out of the accumulation phase and puts it into a distribution phase. And then she could get a monthly check, paid out to her out from the annuity. That could be the difference between you all being able to cover those bills and not. Let's do this. Stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air. We'll be right back.
The term providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at afr.net.
Culture is a product of us being placed in a particular location, and it is God's desire that his light bearers would culture or cultivate a particular area.
Join Abraham Hamilton III as he presents the biblical case for cultural engagement. It's a powerful video resource from the American Family Association's Cultural Institute series.
You and I create the culture of our country.
Visit afastore.net.
Faith Fi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment today, taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. We've got room for probably 2 more questions. If you've got something on your mind, go ahead and call right now, 800-525-7000. We'd love to navigate your financial life with you and help to provide some godly counsel that's also practical, so you can make decisions with confidence. Let's head back to the phones. Cody is in Texas. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how's it going, sir? So I just wanted to call to see if you had maybe any advice. Basically, I went through a pretty unfortunate and ugly divorce a few years ago, which racked up a substantial amount of credit card debt. And I also have an RV that I kind of went upside down on immediately because they just lose value so fast.
Yeah.
And over the last few years, the Lord's been really just calling me. He said, you're enslaved to these people who are not me, basically. And so I've been really trying to hammer the debt down. But it feels like I can't get ahead, you know what I mean? And, so I just kind of wanted to call in and see if you had any advice on that.
Yeah, I'm happy to. So what is the status of that RV? What do you owe on it? What do you think it's worth today?
So I've been paying just minimum payments for the last 2 years. I owe about $30,000 on it, and I think its cash value would probably be no more than like $16,000.
Okay, got it. Yeah. And so you'd have about a $14,000 difference, assuming you could get, you know, 16 for it. What is the rest of your kind of financial situation? Do you have assets, you know, like an emergency fund? Do you have any savings? What do you have access to?
Yeah, so I just recently I secured an emergency fund. It's about $1,500. I started a business last October coming out of the military. And so I've been kind of just building on that. I owe less on my current truck than it's worth. So that's kind of an asset, I guess. I have a little bit of liquidity there. Yeah. And then if I needed to like bail out of my business for whatever reason, I have a trucking business. I'm positive almost 10 grand there.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, but obviously that's your source of income right now, so you would
exactly.
All right. Yeah, I think the key is, let's just keep paying on that RV. What is that interest rate on the RV?
So I got a really great interest rate on that, like 6.3%. I did live in it for several months, my daughter and I. So we really did need it. We bought it in a season where we thought we were going to be transitioning to live in, and then it ended up being parked, and then we lived in it again.
Okay.
So now we're not in it. It's just kind of parked. So I've been looking into different avenues to maybe generate some income with it, like Airbnbs and things like that. There's obviously some financial implications and needs for that as well, though. So.
Yeah, sure. And then what is the payback schedule on that? If you just continue paying monthly what you have been, how long will it take for you to pay it off?
It was a 10-year loan is what they are. They're like 10-year, I forget what they're called, luxury loans or something like that. So I wouldn't be fully paid off until like 2033.
Okay, got it. Yeah. And then are you in a situation now where your business is providing you some pretty stable and predictable income where, you've got a budget that includes the RV payment and everything else, or are you seeing some fluctuation in the income you're bringing in?
So there's definitely fluctuation. It always tends to make my budget. So I have a pretty strict budget and I can make my minimum payments. However, I was really hoping for and planning on this excess in order to start really tackling debt. But the industry right now that I'm in, it's aggregate hauling for trucking. It kind of ebbs and flows, especially with it being the rainy season here in Texas.
Yeah, got it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the key with a small business is, especially where you have some seasonality, would be to do the best you can to, perhaps even get whatever you're pulling out of the business into a savings account, and then try to pay yourself a consistent, predictable amount that's based on your budget. So when you have those kind of lean months, you've built up some surplus and, you can still pay yourself that consistent amount. So you smooth out some of those ebbs and flows. But that means that, in those months where you're doing a little bit better, you're really careful not to spend, more than your plan so that you can cover those leaner months. I think at this point, just given that interest rate, it's probably best for you just to continue paying out on that RV, as you can, just given that the fact that you are upside down so significantly and you'd have to get a loan, to cover the difference, and it'd probably be quite a bit higher because it'd just be a personal loan without any collateral or anything. So I would just kind of stay the course on the RV. With the credit card debt, I would reach out to our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Now, what'll happen is the cards will be closed. They'll stay right where they are, but through Christian Credit Counselors, you're going to be able to access some significantly lower interest rates. And with probably the same monthly payment you're sending now, somewhere between 2 and 3% of the balance. So, if we're talking $26,000, that's somewhere between $520 and, $780 a month. With that one level monthly payment, and they would tell you what it would be, the combination of that level payment plus the dramatic reduction in the interest rates is going to help you pay that off 80% faster. So that would be the way that I would go there rather than trying to take out a new loan to consolidate it or something else. And at least now your monthly payment, a larger portion of it is going to principal reduction every month, which is obviously the name of the game. So I think I'd stay the course on the RV, try to smooth out some of the ebbs and flows of your small business by using a savings account to build up in the bigger months and draw from it in the leaner. Keep really clear books that are separate, personal and business, so you can take full advantage of the deductions that are available to you for business-related expenses that are legitimate. And then, use ChristianCreditCounselors.org on the credit cards.
All right. Hey, thank you so much.
All right. Listen, Cody, if we can help further in any way, don't hesitate to reach out. All the best to you, my friend. We appreciate your call. Let's go to, we'll stay in Texas. Robert, how can I help you?
I got 75% of my matching employer deposit into my 401k going into the S&P 500 index fund, and the other 25% is going into the blue chip row or T row. And I'm 57, so I'm probably only going to have less than 10 years to keep going with this 401k. And I was wondering if those kinds of deposits are aggressive enough.
Yeah. So where are you? What is your age?
57.
Okay. So and how long?
Saved 5,000 in a year. In 1 year, I hit 5,000. So if that's an average of 5,000 a year, even though it's kind of slowed down this year because of the shock that, happened in this country the last 2-3 months. So, but I didn't move it. I left it the way it was.
Yeah. Yeah. The challenge is that, what you have is a fairly highly concentrated portfolio. Because, that S&P 500 is, of course, the 500 large U.S. companies. So think Apple, Microsoft, Amazon. It's a broad market index, mostly growth-oriented. So that's 100% stocks. And then you've got the rest of it in a blue-chip allocation, which, with a blue-chip stock, think Coca-Cola, Johnson & Johnson, Walmart. So these are stable companies, typically, with reliable dividends, somewhat lower volatility, but still, large cap or mega cap stocks. So, at age 57, we would typically say, just as a starting point, you'd want closer to a 50-50 portfolio, 50% stocks, 50% bonds. Just because you'd want to not have quite as much volatility. I mean, yeah, you've done well, but if we were to get into a full-blown recession, which we're overdue for one, you could see a pretty significant pullback. I mean, you should be prepared for a 20 or 30% pullback. Now, you still do have some time on your side. I mean, if you're a decade away, from retirement, you'd would be able to let that recover. And even once you reach retirement, Robert, you're not going to pull it out on day one. I mean, we still need a 30-year time horizon for you to hopefully allow this money to last to age 90 or beyond. But I think, just at from an asset allocation standpoint, 100% in stocks for your investable assets at age 57 would be considered very aggressive. Versus, what would be more conventional, which would be, somewhere between a 60-40 and a 50-50 portfolio stocks to bonds. Does that make sense?
Sure does. The thing is, I don't know which one is considered stocks and which one's considered bonds. Is the index fund the stocks and the blue chip?
No, the S&P 500 and the blue chip are all stocks. So you're 100% stocks, 0% bonds. Whereas typically at age 57, we'd want you more like 50-50. So it doesn't sound like to me you have any bond allocation in this portfolio at this point.
Got to look into the bonds. Well,
yes,
thank
sir.
You so much.
All right. Thanks for your call today. Hey, folks, thanks for being along with us today. We covered a lot of ground. It's been a joy to be walking alongside you. Hey, let me mention our friends at Heart for Lebanon. We've partnered with them this quarter to shine a light on the incredible work that they're doing so that as you think about your own giving dollars, you can come alongside a great need there. We've reached 253 girls and women today with the love of Jesus there in Lebanon. Boy, there's critical challenges they're facing by these vulnerable young women aged 13 to 21 in Lebanon. They're at a heightened risk for exploitation, including early child marriage, child labor, forced prostitution, for street begging. By partnering with us, you have the opportunity to provide them safety and the gospel of Jesus. Every $114 reaches three girls. Just go to faithfi.com/Lebanon to help us sponsor them. Thanks to my team today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.